Hey, welcome everybody to our very first weekend of our online services here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix. I mean, this is an historic moment, and we are so glad that you're with us. You're a part of an historic moment. You know, if you have a Bible, you have an app, what I want you to do right now is I want you to open it up to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 6 to 13. That will be our text today, Philippians 4, 6 to 13. But before we get into the message, I want to say a few words about our offering. You know, somebody's going to be knocking on your door in just a moment. They're going to pass the offering bag around. No, I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen, obviously. But I do want to remind you, the Bible says that we, as followers of Jesus, we're to give back to God the first 10% of all the income that he allows to come our way. You know, the Bible calls that tithing. Many of you know about that. And I know that some of you, you give financially to God when you actually come to our church building. And because of this ban, obviously that's not going to be happening for a while. So what do? Well, you give online. You say, well, Brian, how do I do that? I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to show you right now on the video screens. There are three ways that you can give online. You can give online on our website, vineyardnorthphoenix.com. You can give right now on your phone. Pull out your phone. You can text, and that information's right there on the screen. Or you can give through MyVC, and you can automate your giving. You know, I think that's the best way to do your giving. That's how my wife and I do it, because you automate it. You can put in there how often you want it to come out or whatever savings or checking or whatever it is and how often amount and all that. That's the best way, because then it's done. But, you know, God wants us to continue to be faithful to him with our giving as we go through this difficult time. So please make sure you're being faithful to God in your giving. And I know so many of you are. I just want to take a moment and thank you for your giving to God through our church, and remind us that when we give to God through our church, it really does make a huge difference in lots and lots of people's lives. We are changing lives through our church because of what God, partially because of what God does through our finance. All right, let's pray together. Let's ask God's presence to really speak to us out of the Bible and to empower me right now, okay? Would you just pray with me? Lord, we're so grateful that no matter where we're gathered, whether we're in our home, whether we're in our car, whatever, God, we know that you're here. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us very clearly through the scriptures as we worship you by studying your word. I pray for myself, Lord. I pray that you would empower me and anoint me, God, to deliver the words that you want me to deliver. And God, whenever we give financially online or by text or whatever, I pray, God, that you would use our money, especially during this time, to change people's lives. That's our goal here at the Vineyard, God, is to change people's lives and to glorify and lift up your name. And so we pray that this service would do that right now. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this has certainly been an unprecedented last 2 weeks. I mean, with all that has happened, it's incredible. The travel bans, the large gathering bans. I mean, every sport shut down, schools closing, universities going to all online. Social distancing is now the new normal. I mean, we could go on and on and on just about the things that have happened in the past 2 weeks alone. It truly is unfathomable. And when global events like this happen, there are lots of different emotions that are going on inside of us. You know, worry, fear, feeling overwhelmed, even depressed. You know, that can happen at a time like this. And so over the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing a series called Dealing with Your Feelings During COVID-19. I think it's going to be helpful for all of us. And this week, we're going to talk about stress, because we're all feeling different levels of stress right now, aren't we? And so this weekend, we're going to look at the classic text in the Bible on how to keep from stressing out even during COVID-19. I had to turn to Philippians 4, 6 to 13. And the reason I did that is because that's the recipe for managing stress. And it actually comes with a stress management guarantee, a guarantee. It's not guaranteed by a doctor. It's guaranteed by God himself. And in verse 7 of Philippians 4, we see the guarantee. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, how do you know when you have the peace of God that passes all comprehension? It's when you're in a situation like we are right now, where there's no logical reason to be at peace, and yet you are at peace. That is the peace of God that passes all comprehension. So the big question is, how do we get it? How do we get it? How to take the stress out of COVID-19? Five things. First of all, we have to refuse to worry about anything. Refuse to worry about anything. Why should we refuse to worry about anything? Because God tells us to. In verse 6 of Philippians 4, God says, "Be anxious for nothing." Underline that part. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, is there any wiggle room in that verse? Be anxious for nothing. Any wiggle room? Is COVID-19 an exception? No. God says, be anxious for nothing. He says, in no circumstance. We say, well, what about, nope. Well, God, what about, nyet. Well, God, what about, nunca, never. We are to never worry about anything, God says. In fact, Jesus thought worry was such an important topic that he spent a major portion of his most famous sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We're going to look at a part of it today. But a major part of that sermon, he talks about worry. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually gives us three reasons why you and I should never worry about anything. First of all, he says, because worry is unreasonable. It doesn't make sense. In Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus says this, "That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink," I could stop there and say, "and toilet paper and hand sanitizer." I mean, people are freaking out and stockpiling that. "Or enough clothes to wear." Isn't life, Jesus says, more than food, and your body more than clothing? See, Jesus is saying it's not logical to worry. It's unreasonable. And why is worry unreasonable? Well, a couple reasons. First of all, because worry always exaggerates the problem. Worry never makes a problem smaller. It always makes the problem bigger. I mean, when you have a problem like COVID-19 and you start worrying about it, does it make the problem smaller? No, it expands it. It makes it much bigger. Worry exaggerates. It grows the problem out of proportion. And not only does worry exaggerate the problem, but worry doesn't work either. Worry's never worked. It's worthless. It's stewing without doing. It doesn't make any difference in your life. I mean, to worry about something you can't change is useless. And to worry about something you can change is stupid. Because if you can change it, then change it. But in either case, worry is not the answer. Worry doesn't work. It's unreasonable. Second thing Jesus says, why not to worry, is because worry is unnatural. It's unnatural. Why is it unnatural? Because in the entire universe, the only creations of God that worry are human beings. Human beings. Look at the person next to you, if there's somebody next to you, and say, you are the only person in all of God's creation who worries because you're a human being. Go ahead, say it right now. You know, think about it. Birds don't worry. Cows don't worry. Dogs don't worry. Cats don't worry. Cats create worries, but they don't actually worry themselves. Worry is unnatural. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is, you weren't born with worry. There are no born worriers. Now, you might think you were born to worry, but you aren't. You weren't born that way. There are no born worriers. You learned to worry. Worry is something you learned. Well, the good news is, if you learn to worry, that means you can unlearn worry, right? Look at Jesus says in verse 26 of Matthew 6. Look at the birds, he says. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you, underline this part, aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? I mean, if anybody is on God's welfare program, it's birds. I mean, birds don't do anything except eat and then drop bombs on cars, right? Birds don't sow or reap. And yet Jesus says, the Heavenly Father feeds them. And then he says, aren't you far more valuable to God than they are? And the answer is yes. Yes, you are. So you don't need to worry. It's unnatural. And then the third reason Jesus says not to worry is because worry is unnecessary. It's unnecessary. God says, what in the world are you worried about? Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? Don't you think I'm going to meet your needs? Don't you think I'm going to take care of you even during COVID-19? God says, I created you. I love you. I'll be with you. I put my spirit in you. I will take care of you during this crisis. Now God says, you know, be smart. Do everything that the CDC and the health officials and the government and all that are telling us. But you don't have to live your life filled with worry. God says there's no need to worry. Look at Jesus says in verse 30 of Matthew 6, he says, and if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, then underline this last part, he will certainly care for you. I mean, just think about all the beautiful flowers that human beings, no human beings ever see. And yet God takes care of them. Worry is unnecessary. And you know what the truth is? The truth is, worry is a choice. It's a choice. You don't have to worry. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and saying, you need to worry right now. It's a choice. And so the first step in worry management and stress management is to refuse to worry about anything. Why? Because it's unreasonable, it's unnatural, and it's unnecessary. All right, the second step to living a stress-free life, no matter what, is you need to talk to God about everything. Stop talking to yourself about all the stuff that's stressing you out and start talking to God about those things. Talking to yourself won't do anything, but talking to God will. That's what Paul's saying in the second part of verse 6 of Philippians 4. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, underline in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, if we prayed as much as we worry, we would have a whole lot less to worry about, right? See, when we worry, instead of praying, you know what we're doing? We're acting like an atheist. An atheist. In fact, worry is practical atheism. It's acting like we don't have a Heavenly Father in our life. It's acting like God doesn't exist. Worry is practical atheism. So one of the keys to stress management is this: worry less, pray more. Say that out loud. Worry less and pray more. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Now you say, well, Brian, you know, I don't want to bother God with this thing. It's probably not that big a thing. I don't really want to bother God with it. Hey, I want you to know, there's nothing too small to bring to God. There's no area of your life that God is not interested in. In fact, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God has all the hairs on your head numbered. He's numbered all the hairs on your head. Now, I know for some of us, that's not all that difficult. For me, that's not all that difficult. But God knows every single hair on our head, and even the ones that are in our shower, you know, in the shower drain this morning. God says, I care about every part of your life, and I want you to talk to me about every part of your life, is what God says. And so one of the dumbest things that you and I can say to God or even think is, okay, God, I'll handle this. I'll handle this part. Really? I mean, when God offers to take care of every single part of your life, and then you tell God, God, I'll handle this? Why? You want to lower stress in your life? Worry about nothing and begin to pray about everything. All right, the third thing Paul tells us to do in order to live a stress-free life is to thank God in all things. Say that out loud. Thank God in all things. Now, I want you to notice it does not say to thank God for all things, because there's a lot of things that God didn't cause. You know, God gets blamed for a lot of things that happen in the world that he didn't have anything to do with. There's a lot of pain in the world. There's a lot of evil in the world. God didn't cause those things. You don't thank God for those kinds of things. Somebody gets cancer. You don't thank God for the cancer. God didn't give them the cancer. The devil gave them the cancer. We don't thank God for COVID-19. God didn't cause COVID-19. That was not his plan. But we can thank God in the midst of COVID-19. We're to thank God in all things. That means even in bad circumstances, I can find something to be thankful for. That's what Paul says here back in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, underline with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you know that studies have shown that there's a very clear correlation between gratitude and happiness? Gratitude and happiness. And the truth is, you cannot be happy and ungrateful at the same time. You can't. Happy people are grateful people. Unhappy people are ungrateful people. And study after study after study shows that the healthiest emotion known to human beings is the attitude of gratitude. And the more that you and I build gratitude into our life, the happier and the healthier we're going to be. In fact, studies have shown that having an attitude of gratitude actually increases your immunity system. It raises your immunities. Being ungrateful and being resentful actually lowers your immunities to other things in your life. We know that gratitude is one of the remedies for depression. Why? Because it gets my eyes off of myself and on to God and other people. So instead of looking at or thinking out thinking about what I don't have, I'm looking at and thinking about what I do have. Gratitude is an incredible stress reliever. It gets the focus off of me. Ungrateful people are unhappy people. So Paul says, when you pray, Don't just ask God, but also thank God. Ask with a thankful heart. And the truth is, we can always find something to be grateful for. No matter how bad things are in our life, there's always something that we can be thankful for. I mean, there are a lot of things we can be thankful for right now during this COVID-19 crisis. You say, well, Brian, what can I be thankful for in this crisis? Well, we can thank God, for example, for our family. We can thank God for our friends. We can thank God for our church family. We can thank God for good health, if you have good health. You know, we can thank God for the internet. You know, we can gather together like we are right now. I mean, we couldn't have done this 15 or 20 years ago. I mean, there are lots of things that we can be thankful for if we start looking for things to be thankful for. And that's the third part of reducing stress in our life. Thank God in all things. All right, fourth step in living stress-free is we have to think about good things. Think about good things. And this is extremely important. You know why? Because the war against stress is going on in our minds. The stress isn't out there. It's in here. It's between our ears. The battle is in our thought life. See, what we fill our mind with will determine the level of stress in our life. And so if you want to have peace of mind, you're going to have to start controlling what you allow into your mind. And unfortunately, for most people, their mind is kind of like a freeway. Anything and everything just drive right through it. Lots of people fill their minds with all kinds of poison and garbage, all kinds of stuff. See, the mind is like a computer, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put into your mind is going to come out in your life. So you know what? It matters. It matters what we watch. It matters what we read. It matters what we click on. It matters. You can't just let anything and everything into your mind. Paul says in verse 8 of Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatever is true, look at all these things. There's eight of them here. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is of lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. See, I want you to notice Paul here gives us eight tests of whether we should allow something into our mind or not. And if you want to lower stress in your life, you have to change what you think about and control what you allow into your mind. And so the eight tests that Paul lays out here, before I listen or before I watch, before I talk, before I say, before I hear, I should say to myself, is this true? Is this honorable? Is this right? Is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this of good repute? Is there any excellence or anything worthy of praise about this? Those are sort of the eight tests. And do you know what those eight things really are? When you think about it, those eight things are really a picture of God. They're a picture of God. What Paul is actually saying is, think about God. He's saying if you fix your thoughts on God, you will have perfect peace. What you think about is going to determine how stressed out and how worried you are. You know, you may have heard the true story about Corrie Ten Boom. You know, Corrie Ten Boom was a young Dutch woman during World War II. She was a Christian. And her family, the Ten Boom family, they lived in Amsterdam during World War II. She actually wrote a book about this, and they made a movie about her life called The Hiding Place. But during World War II, the Ten Booms, this Christian family, they took Jewish friends into their home and hid them in a place in their home that they called the hiding place. And they hid them there for many years, trying to prevent them from being captured by the Nazis and shipped off to the death camps. But one day, the Nazis found out. And they not only took the Jewish friends, but they also took Corey and her entire family. They were all taken to the death camps in Poland. And Corey lost her entire family. She was the only one who survived. It's an incredible story. But in it, she says something that I've never forgotten. She says this: if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest. See, it all depends on what we set our mind on. And that is certainly, certainly true as we're dealing with this COVID-19 crisis. It all depends on what we set our mind on. Set your mind on the things above, the things that are true, the things that are excellent, the things that are good repute. It'll make all the difference in the world. All right, there's one more step for stress-free living, and that's learn to be content with what you have. Learn to be content with what you have. Now, let me explain contentment, because a lot of people, they don't understand contentment. Contentment is not laziness. It's not sitting on your couch, I'm just content. Smoking my doobie or whatever, I'm just content. That's not contentment. Contentment is not apathy. Contentment is not complacency. Contentment is also not fatalism. You know, well, whatever will be, that's what a lot of people fall into in times like this. It's not fatalism. Here's what contentment is. Contentment is enjoying what I have right now. Now look at this. Rather than waiting for something else to happen in order for me to be happy. It's enjoying what we have right now. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have any goals. The Bible is very clear that we need to set goals. Contentment means I'm not waiting for something else to happen in my life in order for me to be happy. Well, I'm just waiting for this to be over and then I'll be happy. No. Contentment is not that. Contentment is enjoying what we can have, what we have right now, without waiting for something else to happen in order to be happy. And another thing contentment is not coveting. In fact, contentment is the opposite of coveting. Coveting is what I call when and then thinking. When and then thinking. That's the way a lot of people operate. Maybe you're this way. Well, when this happens, then I'll be happy. When this is finally over, then I'll be happy. When that thing happens, then I'll be happy. No, that's when and then thinking. Contentment is independent of my circumstances. Listen to that. Contentment is independent of my circumstances. It means my joy in life is not connected to what's happening in my life right now. My joy, my happiness is not based on my happenings. It's not based on my circumstances. It means I've learned to enjoy whatever I have right now, and I'm not waiting for someone or something to make me happy. Is that you? Here's what Paul says in these next two verses, verses 11 and 12. He says, not that I speak from want. Then I want you to underline this part. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Whatever circumstances I am. Does that include if he happened to go through COVID-19? Absolutely. He says, I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. He says, I've learned to be content. How do you learn contentment? Let me give you three ways. The first way we learn contentment is we have to stop comparing. Stop comparing. That is so important. You know why? Because the source of all discontentment is comparison. You know, the Bible tells us over and over and over, it's super foolish for you and I to compare ourselves to anyone else. You know why? Two reasons. One is, you're always going to be able to find somebody who's doing better than you are or has more than you are or whatever. And then when you find them and compare yourself to them, you feel discouraged. And then secondly, you're also always going to be able to find people who you're doing better than or who you have more than they have. And then you get filled with pride. And either way, you're dead in the water. Discouragement and pride are two things in life that always knock you out of life. So what does God say? God says, don't do that. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. God says, I created you to be you. I made you to be you. God says, if you aren't you, who's going to be you? So don't compare. Here's the second tip for learning contentment. Stop thinking that having more is better. You know, there are three myths that we're taught by advertising in our culture. Having more will make me happier. Having more will make me more important. And having more will make me more secure. You know, none of those are true. They're all lies. Having more will not make you happier. Having more will not make you more important. And having more will not make you more secure. I mean, in the first place, no matter how much you have, you can lose it all. I mean, we're finding that out right now with the stock market and what's happening. And by the way, you need to really know this. Your value is not based on your valuables. Your self-worth is not based on your net worth. It's based on who you are, not on what you own. So stop thinking that having more will make you happier or more important or more secure, because none of those are true. And then the third tip for learning contentment is learn to admire without having to acquire. In other words, learn to enjoy things without having to own them. And the truth is, ownership is oftentimes a pain. It's a pain. Because whatever you own, you know what? You have to insure it. You have to maintain it. You have to store it. You have to haul it, whatever it is. Learn to be content with what you have. So, how do we reduce stress in our life even during COVID-19? Let's recap. We don't worry about anything. We pray about everything. We thank God in all things. We think about good things. And we learn to be content with what we have. See, these five strategies for living a stress-free life, man, they're pretty easy to explain, but they're super difficult to do, aren't they? Super difficult. So where am I going to get the energy to do these things that will reduce stress in my life? Well, you know what God says? God says, come to me, and I'll give you the energy. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the ability to actually do this. In fact, that's why Paul ends this passage of Scripture with verse 13, one of the most famous verses in the entire Bible. Paul says, I can do all things through him, through Christ. Underline that. Through Christ who strengthens me. You know what that means? That means I can worry about nothing when Christ strengthens me. And I can pray about everything when Christ strengthens me. And I can thank God in all things when Christ strengthens me. And I can keep my mind on the right things when Christ strengthens me. And I can be content with anything when Christ strengthens me. See, what I'm talking about here is not a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know who you are listening online, watching online. You may be Buddhist, you may be Baptist, you may be, you know, Catholic, you may be Jewish, Muslim, Mormon, you may have no religion whatsoever. Doesn't matter. You know what? God has never made a person that he didn't love. God has never made a person that he didn't die for. God has never made a person that he doesn't have a purpose for. He made you for a purpose. You matter to him. And so God says to you right now, if you come to me, I will help you. I will help you. In fact, look at this last verse in Job 22, verse 21. It says, yield now, underline that part, yield now and be at peace with God. Thereby good will come to you. You know, the real reason some of you are not at peace inside is because you're at war with God. You don't have peace with God. You've never done the first part of this verse. You've never yielded to God. You've never surrendered your life completely to God. And the fact is, until you make peace with God, you'll never have the peace of God. You say, well, Brian, how do I make peace with God? By surrendering your life to the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that personally before? Have you ever come and said, I want to surrender my life completely to you, Jesus? You're the peace, the Prince of Peace. Have you ever done that? If you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity right now. Would you bow your head right now, wherever you are? Would you bow your head in prayer with me? Maybe close your eyes. You don't have to do that, but it really helps block out distractions. Because I want you to know, right now, this is a holy moment. Right now, wherever you are, this is a holy moment between you and God. And if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you've never yielded to the Prince of Peace, you can do it right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you want to pray this prayer back to God, you can begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have to pray this prayer out loud. God can read your thoughts. He can read your mind. But you have to really be serious. You have to mean it. And to just pray something like this. God, I don't want to be stressed out. God, I really want to learn these habits of stress-free living. God, would you help me to worry about nothing and pray about everything? And God, help me to thank you in all things. And help me to think about good things. And God, I ask you to help me right now to be content with anything. God, I want to have peace with you so I can have the peace of God inside my heart. And so Jesus Christ, to the best that I understand how, I want to surrender my life right now to you. I want to say yes to you. Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a relationship with you. I want to get to know you. And so I surrender my whole life to the best that I understand. I surrender my whole life completely to you right now. All right, would you look up? You know, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, that actually happened. It happened. And the Bible says the angels in heaven are rejoicing because of what you just did. And if you just did that, I want to know about that. And there's a blue button in the chat window that says, raise your hand. I want you to click on that button because that lets me know that you're responding to what God is doing in your life right now. So click that blue button. But you know what? It doesn't end there. We at the Vineyard, we want to connect with you and we want to pray with you. And we want to get you some information about next steps in this newfound faith that you have. And we want to do it in a private chat, not where everybody else can see. So if you press the blue button, raise your hand, I also now want you to press the button that says request prayer. It's in the chat window. Request prayer. We're going to celebrate with you. And somebody's going to come online and they're going to pray with you online right there. And then for the rest of you, you know, I don't know what kind of business you did with God right now, but if you would like some sort of prayer about anything, we're going to stay online and we're going to ask you to send us any prayer requests that you have right now and someone will pray with you. All you have to do is click the live prayer button, the live prayer button, or type the word prayer in the chat. And one of our ministry team members or one of our pastors will pray with you privately, okay? Now, before you go, I want to pray a blessing over you. And so, you know, when we're gathered together in our church services, I ask you to stand. So I'm just going to ask you to stand right now. Obviously, I don't know if you're doing this or not, and it really doesn't matter to me if you do, but I'm just going to ask you to stand because I want to pray a blessing over you and make this experience as normal as we can as far as Vineyard Church North Phoenix goes. So would you stand? God, I pray right now for all my friends that are watching all over the world right now. God, I pray for each one of them that you would bless them and that you would keep them and you would cause your face to shine upon them and you'd be gracious to them and you would lift up your favor upon them, God, and that you would give them incredible, incredible peace. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So next weekend, I'm going to continue this series talking about how to deal with how you feel during COVID-19. You're not going to want to miss it. So I will see you online next weekend. God bless. Have an amazing week.